Okay, so we are in the middle of, we are on page 346. We already did Rashi, the Mitzudos, and the Radak. Now we're going to start now the Malbim. Okay, page 346, let's review the Pesukim very quickly. Page 346, Pasuk Zayin, Ches, and Tes, Koi Hirani, So did Hashem show me, Yinei Hashem, Nitzav al Choyma Sanach. Hashem is standing on the Choyma Sanach, on the wall that is a plumb line, Uvi Yodoy Anach, and Hashem has in his hand an Anach. Vayom Hashem Elai, Ma'atah Roye, almost, what do you see? Vayomar, and he says, Anach, I see an Anach. Vayomer Hashem, Hinini Som, Hashem says, I am going to set, I am going to drop this plumb line, bekerev, in the midst of Ami Yisrael, I will no longer allow, I will no longer pass over this line. As we learned yesterday, Hashem says it's going to be mishpat, it's going to be justice, I'm not going to allow people to get away with crime. And what is going to be the consequences? Pasuk Tes, v'nashamu bamos Yitzchak, the bamos of Yitzchak will be destroyed, u'mikdashe Yisrael yecheravu, and the mikdashe Yisrael will be destroyed. We have different interpretations, what exactly it means, the mikdashe Yisrael, it means the palaces, or it means the bamos of Avodah Zarah, which have been designated for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. The kamti al beis Yeravam, the charev Hashem says, I will rise up against the family of Yeravam, which we learned refers to the son of Yeravam, Zechariah, who would be killed by Shalom towards the end of the Aseres Hashvatim. Okay, so we did already the Mitzudos, we did Rashi, we did Radak, we discussed so many different ideas. Now let's take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim is found on page 346. Koy Hirani Hashem Ata now. Heroloi b'machazesh Hashem nitzav al chaymas anach uviyodei anach rabba zeshnei devarim. Malbim says that Amoy saw in this vision two things. Ech number one, chaymas anach. Number one was a wall. Haynu chaymas sheniv nisa b'mida uvi peles. A wall that was built b'mida by measure, and a peles means with a weight. Peles normally means a mishka, means a weight. This is a description of Hashem's creation. Okay, so the wall over here is a symbolic wall. The wall over here represents the wall of justice. The wall of justice, which really is exactly what everyone else said, that we learned the Targum, and Rashi, the Mitzudos, Radak. Everyone is on the same line that the wall here, even though it does not say this word at all in the Pasuk, Mishpat, everyone comes back to the same thing, that it was built with the Midas Hadin Uva'anach HaMishpat, the plumb line of Mishpat, because everyone knows that in Rosh Hashanah, on the Aron HaKodesh, what's always the symbol of Mishpat, of Rosh Hashanah? You always see the scales. The scales of justice. Ki apeles umoizne mishpat, the peles, the scale, the weight, umoizne mishpat, the scales of mishpat, nituyim al klal hametzius. Shakol nevro kifi hamishpat, vakol oruch bevidas adin, vahashkocha, haklalis, shashkich hashem al klal hametzius, bedin mishpat. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, operates according to the laws of mishpat. The Hashem, Nitzav alachem as zo mashkiach alecha b'hashkocha klalitz kifiyadin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates, conducts this world with justice. Ultimately, there will be justice. No one gets a free lunch. For an a mitzvah, there is reward, and for an aver, there is punishment. V'zo sheinis. Okay, v'zo sheinis kivyodei anach. Okay, and the second principle is the anach shagam shagvar nigmar habinyan bechol zos machzikas anach biyodel limdoid mechadosh. Now here is the point. Here is the second major idea. Even though the binyan is complete, bechol zos machzik es ho anach biyodoy limdoid mechadosh. V'hainu shechutz min ha-hashkocho ha-klo liyis he-aruch mishay shesimei ha-maseh yashkiach b'chol eis hashkocho ishiyis. Ishiyis means an individual lahanish es ha-choytim b'hashkocho miyuchedes kifi ha-mishpot ha-proti to punish. I think ishiyis lahanish es ha-choytim b'hashkocho miyuchedes individuals.
Mean what? Human justice as opposed to divine justice?
Thank you.
Lefi ho'eis lefi hanidoinim. I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, he's saying over there are two things. Hashem created the world with mishpat.
Right.
So you want to say that that mishpat refers to
a divine system of justice.
So go back to the first wide line. The first wide line. Shakol Nivra, the last two words on the first wide line, Shakol Nivra, Kifi HaMishpat, V'akol Oruch B'midas Hadin U'V'Hashkocho HaKilolis. Okay, so there's something called Hashkocho Klolis, for the world, a nation. A nation has a Hashkocho. Now that does not mean every individual is under Hashkocho Protis. We always use Hashkocho Protis. Every individual is also subject to a singular.
It's not talking about individuals. It's talking about the system by which Hashem rules the world.
Sheshkiach, I'll go further. The second white line.
The world is governed.
Right. Al klal hametzius bedin uvemishpat. V'Hashem nitzav al choyim azo mashkiach olecha b'hashkocha klolis kifi hadin. This world is a world for human beings.
Okay, but you didn't get up to that word yet.
No, but that's the klolis. Then v'zoy sheinis. And then there's a hashkocha protis. There's hashkocha klolis and hashkocha protis. What's the difference? The difference is that the nation, let's say we have a promise that a nation will continue to exist to the end of days. The Netzach Yisrael lo yishake. There is a guarantee that there will be a Klal Yisrael to be Mekabel Melech HaMashiach. But that does not mean every single individual will merit to be there. Okay, so this Hashkocha Klolis and Hashkocha Protis. The Hashkocha Klolis is the Klal. But who in the klal will merit to be part of this experience? Okay, who in the klal will merit to be part of this experience? There is no guarantee. The hashkocha pratis means that every individual, if there's an individual who is deserving, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not deny his reward. So he's teaching us over here the very, very interesting pshat in the pasuk. Again, the pasuk reads, according to the Malbim, what do you see? Hashem is standing. V'hine Hashem nitzav al choymas anoch. The choymas anoch, and then it says uviyodoy anoch. The choymas anoch is the hashkocha klolis. Uviyodoy anoch is the hashkocha pirotis. Okay, that's how he appears to learn. No one really tackled this question. No one really tackled why do we have over here the Chaymas Anach and Uviyodei Anach. Everything that we learned until now, we just glossed over this repetition. He's coming to teach us. The repetition is to teach us there are two different types of Hashkocha in this world. A Hashkocha Klolis. Correct. And there are things that Hashem guarantees the Klal. Kodesh Baruch Hu guarantees the world will endure, but does not necessarily mean every single individual is subject to personal divine providence. And the fact that it says Uviyodoy Anoch indicates, is a lesson, is teaching, that even though Hashem, there is the Klolis, there's also going to be the Hashkocha Pirotis. Okay, Pasuk Ches. Vayoymer Hashem Eli. Mo'atoroy Omos. What do you see? Vasher Ro'osh Nei Dvarim. Now, that the Malam has taught us, that Hashem has shown almost two things. Choymas Anoch, number one, was the wall. Number two is V'hu Anoch Asher B'yad Hashem. Shaloi, so he asked him, Mo Atar Royer, Ritzon Eloymar, Mo Hadavor Asher Hu Chidush Be'enov B'machazeh Hazos. What is unique? Okay, so this goes back to what we discussed yesterday. When does Hashem ask a Navi, what do you see? And when does Hashem not ask a Navi, what do you see? So we learned yesterday, according to the Radak, that Hashem only asks a Navi, what do you see? According to the Mitzudos, when it's not obvious. According to, I'm already forgetting the Mefarshim, one of the interpretations was HaKadosh Baruch Hu only asked the question when the vision is not obvious. When the message is obvious, then Hashem does not need to ask the question. But when it's not obvious, Hashem asks the question to clarify, to make sure you clearly see what you're meant to see. We learned another interpretation, and that was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reason why he asked the question here was, why are you not davening? You are witnessing something that is terrifying. Why do you not pray to Hashem that this should not come to be? And we learned yesterday, the reason why in this vision Hashem did not pray to Hashem was because Hashem in this vision did not reveal that he plans to destroy Klal Yisrael. Hashem only revealed in this vision that he plans to chastise Klal Yisrael. And Amos was of the opinion, as long as the Jewish people are not threatened, their existence, it's not a threat to their existence, it's okay, he's not going to challenge Hashem. Whereas, in the first two visions that we had previously, the vision revealed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was indeed contemplating destroying Klal Yisrael. That's why he spoke up, that's why he davened. So Hashem did not need to question, why are you not davening? According to the Radak, the question, what do you see, was really to be interpreted, why are you not praying to Hashem? Okay, so here, according to the Malbim, it's not the pshat. According to the Malbim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked the question, what do you see, Hashem is asking, what chidush? What? Obviously, you see something, you clearly see what the vision is meant to say. But I'm also showing you something new, something novel. I want to discuss with you the novelty of this vision. That's what he's learning, a whole new idea. Mo hadavar ashehu chidush bi'einov b'machane hazois v'oimar anoch. And what is the response of Amos? His response is the chidush is right to loimar hachaymo shel anoch eino lepela be'einai ki yodati shakol oruch b'mida u'mishkol b'mida sadin. The wall, the chaymos anoch, that is no big deal. That's old news. This, that the world has a destiny. This, that the world, there are things, there are major things that are meant to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a major plan for this world. There's a hashkacha klolis, how the world will unfold, how events will unfold throughout history. That I know about. That's hashkacha klolis. That is not a chiddush in my eyes. Rak, what is the chiddush to me? Ani royeh mispalei, I see, and I am amazed. It is a wonder in my eyes. Al ho'anoch asher biyotcha sha'ato oicheiz achar gemar habinyan. What is a novelty is the hashkacha pratis. Sheze moire sha'ato roitzel lahanish eize uma b'mishpat haprati uv'hashkacha hamyuchedes asher ein lo kesher im ha'mishpat haklali ha'miyusa b'chlal ha'mitzius. V'ze ani roye u'midaktek olav. What I see to be unique is hashkacha pratis. I see that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he enters into the fray, he enters into the situation, and he gives punishment to a nation or to a person, something that's not part of the big plan of the world. Hashem has a big plan. But in the big plan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also conducts his affairs with Mishpat on the individual level. And this is something which Amos is declaring to Hashem, that it is beyond my understanding. It's a pella. It's something which is new. Vayoymer Hashem, Hinini Hashem says, Hinini Son, anoch bekeref ami Yisrael. What does this mean? Ritzon lemar shlo yanich oisam sheyish sheyishoftu al pi kaf hadin haklal lishaboy. I will not allow them to judge according to the mishpat the klali, to be judged. Shabo lo yashkif al haprat lishpoit kol ish vo ish biyichud. I will not judge Klal Yisrael with the hashkacha klalis, the mishpat haklali. Rak don es kol ha'olam b'chlal. V'chei mitzar hadin haklali. Yavar lipa'amim al ha'avayin v'ha'inish. And it happens sometimes, according to the din haklali, yavar lipa'amim al ha'avayin v'ha'inish, im ein hazman haklali maskim el hara'ah. That sometimes in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlooks. He lets nations get away with crimes and sins, because if Hashem were to punish them at that moment in time, it would interfere with Hashem's big plan.
Okay.
Hashem has a big, big plan for this world. And Hashem needs the nations to be in position to execute, or to be partners, or to be pawns in his hands, in order that the big plan comes to be, is executed perfectly. However, sometimes these nations have done horrible crimes, have done terrible things, which we would assume Hashem would intervene, would enter and punish them. But if Hashem would punish them, Hashem, then that would interfere with the big ultimate plan. Therefore, Hashem does not punish these nations. He lets them get away with their sins in order that they remain in position to be available to execute the ultimate big plan. Ki b'tzar hadin haklali, tavoy hara'ah, because according to the tzar haklali, according to the big hashgacha, the punishment will come lefi hasadarim hativiyim v'ho'erech hama'arachi. It will eventually catch up with them according to the natural set of rules, and the erech hama'arachi, which means the arrangement, whatever this means, is some, whatever it means, according to the what was meant to be. Hakotzov, that is put into place, b'hanhaga haklalis, in the general rule. V'yamtim al ho'es ha'mukhshar lozeh, HaKadosh Baruch will patiently wait for the proper time, kifi seder ha'olam u'kifi ha'ma'areches, according to the arrangement in heaven, according to the heavenly bodies.
Heavenly schedule,
very good, heavenly schedule. So therefore, don't be surprised. Do not be surprised if you witness nations commit crimes that are horrible and they get away with it. The reason is because the nations of the world are judged by Hashem's hashkacha klolis. And therefore, they will receive what's meant for them in the right time. But in the meantime, they need to be in position for the part of this ultimate hashkacha. Aval, however, here comes the point that is being taught to us in this pasuk. Aval anisam anoch chadosh umidim yuchedes hamodedes kefi hashkacha hapratis. But I also, Hashem says, I also apply a hashkacha pratis in this world. There is also in this world, indeed, a hashkacha pratis. And the hashkacha pratis differs from the hashkacha klolis in two fundamental ways. Aleph, shani sam anach bekerev ani Yisrael. Lishboid kol ish v'ish b'yichud al yidei ha-hashkacha ha-ishiyis u'mishpat ha-prati. Number one, the hashkacha pratis is only by Klal Yisrael. Only Klal Yisrael is subject to this hashkacha pratis. Number two, base. Shlo oisef oid avar loy, sh'af shlo yuchshar hazman shel ha-oinish lefi sede ha-olam ha-tivi. I will not delay bringing punishment. Ki emdoid lohem kifalam. I will measure for them according to their deeds. al pi ha-hashkocha ha-pratis, according to the hashkocha pratis. So here is an incredible and awesome, I mean, fundamentally, from the most fundamentally yesoidos of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts this world, being laid out in front of us in this pasuk according to the interpretation of the Malbim. He's describing here, there's something called Hashkocha Klolis and Hashkocha Pratis. Who is subject to Hashkocha Pratis? Only Klal Yisrael. What else is unique about Hashkocha Pratis? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will disrupt the ultimate plan, the big picture. Hashem has a big picture in how He wants to guide and maneuver the world towards a certain goal, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will change the big plans if He needs to intervene and execute Hashkocha Pratis for Klal Yisrael. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that there's something that has to be done to Klal Yisrael because either they deserve reward or they deserve punishment, and giving them reward or punishment at this point in time will interfere with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original big plan, big divine plan of where He wants to bring this world, it's okay. It's okay to cancel the big plan, intervene, and
recalibrate or recalculate like a GPS.
Can you recalculate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goal, his mission, his guidance system based upon the facts on the ground? Okay, so the Hashkocha Klolis, you would think if you have you send off a missile out into far, far away, that's it. Hashkocha Klolis, once the missile has been launched, there is nothing you can do to change its course. This is the Hashkocha Klolis. Hashkocha Pratis is, if there is a change of reality on the ground, then you can enter into the guidance system and change the coordinates of where this missile will be directed. Why? Because the facts on the ground have changed. The only one that is able to make that change in the Hashkocha Klolis is Klal Yisrael, because they are subject to Hashkocha Pirates. Okay, this is really, really, I mean, it's a...
Mazel Yisrael or a Mazel Yisrael? I mean, that's the conversation.
Mazel, you're saying, is the Hashkocha Klolis. And the Klal Yisrael is not subject to the Hashkocha Ein Mazel Yisrael. And he's saying even more.
Right.
He's saying that it changes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a big plan. He has a big plan. The Umoy Sa'olam cannot change that big plan no matter what. If they do terrible things or they do very good things, Hashem says, okay, in due time, you'll get what you deserve or there will be reward. But now it's not going to change the big picture. The big picture must come to be. By Klal Yisrael, it's not so. Number one, they have Hashkocha Pratis, and Hashkocha Pratis is executed immediately or in the short term, and that execution of the Hashkocha Pratis has the power to change the big picture.
But how the Goyim affect the Jews? There's a conflict. You're saying that the long-term picture of the Goyim is set.
Correct.
But the Jews, it can be changed. But if the Goyim are affecting the Jews, then there's a conflict.
The Goyim can't make any change. The only one that is at the controls that can make the changes are the Jews. The Goyim...
you have to see who's in the background and who's in the foreground. Where are the foreground? They're the background.
There's an ultimate Hashkocha Klolis. The Goyim cannot do anything to change that ultimate big plan. But Klal Yisrael can. Klal Yisrael, through their deeds, through their ma'asim, they have the ability to change the big plan.
Right, that's what Rabbi Alpert calls the Yad Agdola. Vayar Yisrael has a Yad Agdola, Asher HaSafu Mitzrayim. They saw the big picture. That's how we,
the big picture.
As he gives, I said, it becomes a Yad, Yad Chazoka, and then Yad Agdola. And that's the Yad Agdola. He understood now why they had to go to the Yamsu.
Okay.
Yeah, greatly. They saw the big picture.
I don't understand how you say by goyim there is not hashgacha pratis. I mean, same thing. I mean, from the outside, it happens to you, and it happens to them. They become rich. They become poor.
So the answer is everything happens to them.
That happens to us.
It's a very good question. What he obviously means is there are different levels. There are different, obviously, everyone, there's a lot of discussion. Are animals subject to hashgacha pratis? A bird, a dog, a cat, all these things. The answer is yes, but not to the same degree. By Klal Yisrael, there is an intensity. How do you explain the difference? I don't have the words. But everyone ultimately is subject to hashgacha. The only question is the intensity of that hashgacha. Okay, by Klal Yisrael, is he okay? You sure? By Klal Yisrael, the intensity of the hashgacha pratis is sensed, and it's immediate. It's immediate, or it's in very short term. It's sensed. And it changes the direction of the world, of the person, of his family, of his surroundings. By the Umos HaOlam, there is Hashgacha Pratis. No one is denying the fact that every single creature in this world ultimately is subject to Hashem's Hashgacha and is rewarded and punished exactly for what his mitzvahs and sins. But it's not immediate and it's not sensed. The intensity is lacking. It's like, for example, why do you have to go to the Beis HaMikdash? Ki basi beis tefila l'chol ha'anim. Why bother going to the Kosel HaMeravi to daven? Why? You can daven here. You can daven in the Young Israel of Midwood. You can daven on the subway. You ever see a woman on the subway or on the bus with the Tehillim? So what, her tefillos are not heard? Are not heard just as much as they're heard by the Kosel HaMaravi? Why do you have to go travel to the Beis HaMikdash? The answer is, there's an intensity. There's no question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hears the tefillos of a person no matter where they are, anywhere in the world. But by the Beis HaMikdash, by the Kosel HaMaravi, the intensity is that much greater. It is the same thing when it comes to Hashgacha. The intensity of the Hashgacha is that much greater when it comes to Klal Yisrael, to the degree that it changes the course of the world through their mitzvahs and through their ma'asim tovim, and Rachmana Litzlan, through their averos, also can change the course of the world l'ra. Okay, so we take out of this Malbim, these incredible yisoidos, and he's telling us that it's all symbolized in two terms, the choymas anoch and the anoch. The choymas anoch, when we have the word anoch together with the word choyma, it indicates hashgacha kilolus. When we have the word anoch, the plumb line, alone, it indicates hashgacha pirotis. Okay. In the kinois, when Titois, one of the most popular kinois is when Titois came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And when he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the kinah describes in detail what happened on that day when he stabbed the paroiches and blood came gushing out. It says first he contaminated the lechem upon him. And at the end of the kinah, it describes that Kodesh Baruch Hu left over the Kosel HaMaravi. And then it describes about the children who were taken to Rome, the boys and the girls, and the girls jumped over the ship, and they gave up their life, and the boys, they made a kol v'chomer, if the girls jumped over the ship to give up their lives, not to be taken to Rome and be used as objects of Avera, us, men, boys, certainly should do the same. So here in that kina, there's one very mysterious line where it says that Titois, he drew a straight line. Titois, he drew a straight line of blood, a red line of blood, a perfectly straight line. And he measured, and from the context, it appears that the victims were killed along this straight line of blood. And it's very difficult to appreciate what does this all mean? What does this mean over here? There was a perfectly straight line of blood. It's something very similar to what it says here, the Anach. And this is what Titois did. Based upon what we learned in the Malbim is giving us an approach to understand this pasuk, that the Anach represents Hashkocha Pratis. Everything that happens in this world was done by Hashgacha. There's a Choymas Anach, and there is Uvi Yodoy Anach. Okay, I really should. Oh, I don't know if we have here the Kina. Do we have here a Kina? Yeah, give me. I mean, Kiki, maybe I have a table here. Maybe I mean, we do. I think it's Kina Tezayin. And see, all of the commentators that we've learned until now, the Mitzudos, the Radak, Rashi, and the Targum, they did not throw in the word Hashgacha. They used the word, thank you very, very much, they only used the word here, the word Mishpat. According to the Malbim, the Malbim is coming to add, it's not just Mishpat, it's a Mishpat of Hashgacha, of provenance. Everything is perfectly calculated. Mida connected Mida. There's Mishpat. There's a time for judgment. But then there is a Mishpat of Hashgacha Pratis. Let's see what it says in the Kina. I believe it's Kina Tezayin. Okay. Zuchar Asher Oso Tsar Bifinim. Remember what Titus did inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Sholof Harboi. He withdrew his sword, Uvo Lifnai Velifnim. He entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Nachalasin Bies, he terrified our nation, Kitimei, when he contaminated the Lechem HaPonim, the Gider, and he stabbed Paroiches, which is Baalash Shtei Ponim, which is the double sided. Yisayim, here it is, Yisayimim Giel, the orphans, which is a reference to Klal Yisrael Giel, he made disgusting, besmirched. It says here in English, he besmirched b'magen me'adam, with a shield that was red, a shield that was drenched with blood. And here's the line that I was referring to: vayimadeid kav kimare adam dam. He drew a straight line that was Mari had the appearance of blood. What is the significance over here of a kov? What?
When it repeats like that, deep red.
Deep red. Adam dam 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 is a double lush of dam. Dam dam, repetition of dam red. What is it? Oh, so that's the question. What exactly does this mean? What does it mean, this line of Yimadeid Kav? It's a very, very difficult line, which all the Mepharshim struggle to translate. He measured a line that appeared to be a deep color of red. What does this mean? Who is it referring to? So simply refers to Titus. But based upon what we have learned here, the Anoch, what is the goal of the Anoch? The goal of the Anoch is to create a perfectly straight, horizontal, a vertical line. Vayimadeit kav, he measured a perfectly straight line. According to the Malbum, the measuring of a perfectly straight line is symbolic of hashkocha pratis. When we use the word vayimadeit kav in reference to a wall, that's hashkocha kilolis. But when we use the word a kav, Uviyodoy Anoch, and in the hand of Hashem is an Anoch, and here there is no reference to the wall, it refers to Hashkocha Paratis. So we can suggest that if we connect this Nevuah to the Kina, is the Kina is telling us the punishment that occurred on this day when the Churban happened, when Titus came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was done with Hashkocha Pratis. Don't make a mistake and think this was just an act, this was just an accident, it was just a coincidence, it was just chaos. Everything that happened on this day, when Titus came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and did these horrible things, it was with the ultimate precision from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was Mishpat. Akav is Mishpat, is justice. But not just justice, you know, general, it's just, you know, shoot from the hip. Like a justice that takes place in the secular courts of the world. There's also justice, it's an approximation. A person that commits a crime, so then we'll give you 10 years, we'll give you 20 years. We don't really care about the collateral damage to your family. We don't care about the effect it has on your health, v'chulu v'chulu. There's no such thing today as real justice. There are laws, and there's no, we have no choice. There has to be some type of punishment, but the punishment never ever is perfectly just. The only one that's able to exercise justice to the ultimate perfection is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The message over here is, based upon what we've learned in this Nevuah, that the Anoch without the Choyma is the Hashkocha Piratis. It's telling us when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the Jewish people suffered, the Yisoymim were Giel, they would be smirched. When it says here that he contaminated the lechem upon him, when he stabbed the pareches, balash te piois, with his sword, this wasn't just, you know, chaos, poetry. This was precision. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pulling the strings, he was guarding his hands, he was bringing about the events. There was uncanny hashgacha pratis taking place at this moment, on this day, to fulfill every detail of justice in the eyes of Hashem. Okay, that's just a suggestion to try to have a better understanding of this concept of the Anoch and the Kav that is established through the Anoch, to try to make some sense out of what it says in this Kina. Okay, let's go now to Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes in the Malbim. V'noshamu, what's going to be the next set of consequences? The next set of consequences is going to be it's going to be laid to waste. The Bamos Yischok. The Al Yidei Zeh Noshamu Bamos Yischok Heim HaBamos Shasu Lo Agolim Ukiraam Yischok Milashoin Sichoik Volag. Happiness, mockery, joy. In other words, the Malbim is learning the Pasuk similar to the Mitzudos David. We're now referring to Klal Yisrael. The only one that said that was the Radak. The word Yitzchak means to mock, to make merry. And here we're referring to the altars of Avodah Zarah. And the people would dance around them. They would sing. They would do terrible averos on these bamos. And that is called Sechayk. And these altars will now come to an end. Next, Umikdashay Yisrael Shehim HaMekomas HaMekudashim Etzlam B'Beisel Uvedon. Same idea. The altars that have been designated for the Zohar in Beis Lundan, Yecherav will be destroyed, the Kamtel Beis Yeravam Mechadav, Sheagam, Sheiravam, even though Yeravam, we're turning the page now to, returning Sheiravam, this goes to the next page 348, Yomus Kedarkoi will die a natural death, Beisoi, his children, Zechariah, Yosufu will perish b'charef, Shu Yitzchai ben Yeravam, Shuhumas, who is assassinated by who? Shalom. Al Yidei Shalom ben Yavesh. Okay, so that concludes the perish of this section according to the Malbum. Awesome, incredible Yidiyos, incredible Yisoidos in the way Hashem runs this world. Now let's look at the Midrashei Chazal on page 347. Vinei Hashem, Nitzav al Chaymas Anach. Omar, on the very bottom, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Idi. Omar, Rabbi Yochanan. Eser Masois, Nosa Shechina, Kishenistalka, Bechurban Besarishan. Vedavar Zen Nilmon Mikroi. There were 10 different Masois. When I come to Rachel, he left the Beis HaMikdash in stages. Hashem did not just leave instantly, Hashem left the Beis HaMikdash in stages. What are the stages? Number one, the first thing was he left the kapayres. The shechina was rejoining the kapayres upon the kapayres. They went to the kruv. The kruv is the kapayres is the bottom. The bottom of the base, the foundation of the kruvim. It went up to the kruvim. Umi kruv le miftan habayis, to the threshold of the bayis. Umi miftan lechotzer, from the threshold to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Umi chotzer le mizbeach, to the mizbeach. Umi mizbeach le gag. Umigag lechoyma, umichoyma loir, umiil lahar azesim, umihar lemidbar, umimidbar also levyoshav umichoyma from the midbar went back to Shemayim. Now, this is the famous Chazal. We had this. We actually discussed this numerous times. And each different separation, each different departure from one, what withdrawal from one section to the next, is proven, is mentioned somewhere in Tanakh in a pasuk. You have to go on a wild goose chase through the entire Tanakh to find a pasuk that matches each one of these separate withdrawals. So, we're now going to focus on the withdrawal of the Gag to the Choymah. Hashem was resting on the Gag of the Beis HaMikdash and went to the wall of the wall of the Azara. This is the pasuk that teaches us about this withdrawal. Hashem was standing on the Choymah Sanach. Hashem was on top of the wall. So therefore Hashem went from the Gag, that was the previous location, now the Shekhinah is resting upon the Choymah. Amar Rav Chisda, next Chazal. Amar Rav Chisda, Kol HaShadim Ninalim Chutz Mishare Oino. Okay, this is a new Yisoy, and this is another Halacha. If a person commits a crime, if a person does an Avera, he does an Avera, all of the gates in Shemayim to demand immediate retribution are sealed. We have no doubt about it, because the Shemayim will ultimately punish a person. But it used to be Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayam and the Shekhinah was resting in Klal Yisrael, a person was punished instantly. A person did an Avera, and before you blink, you see Saras. Person speaks Lashon Hara, there's Saras. A person does an Avera, there is immediate punishment for sin. That is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and even today, that's what the Ramban says. And it's one of the big advantages, we always mention this, of living in Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael, even Bizman HaZeh, when there is no Beis HaMikdash, the Midah Kineged Midah is swift. You live in America, and you do a mitzvah, they can take 50 years until you're able to see the Midah Kineged Midah. I did this chesed, and look at that. Hashem repaid me. Hashem has responded, has given back, has reciprocated.
I don't know it's Midah Kineged Midah.
That's our emunah. You can sense it. That's our emunah. You can sense it. A person does an avera. Every person in their own life, at some point in time, you're able to recognize, I now see the Yad Hashem. I recognize that I did this avera. I've done something that's not proper. And I see now what I have done to someone else is coming back. The chickens, that was the expression, the rooster.
Chickens come
home to roost. I see the midah, it boomerangs. When you do a mitzvah, you do a chesed, you're really doing a chesed for yourself. When you do an avera, you're really harming yourself. Because ultimately, midah can get midah. However, the problem is that when you live in chutz la'aretz, it can take decades. It can take a generation. It can take a very, very long time for you to see how that your act of chesed, boomerangs, returns to you. And sometimes you'll never see it. Sometimes maybe it'll only happen in the next generation. So what happens? A person, unfortunately, because he does not see the midah kineged midah, both for good and for bad, he it's very hard to be a maimin. There's a very great nisoyon in recognizing the Yad Hashem. But if you were to see the midah kineged midah happen swiftly, I did a chesed, and 2 weeks later, I witnessed a payback, both for good and for bad. Then it becomes much easier for you to be a maimon, for you to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know someone told me Eretz Yisrael, he said to me that he knows, he mamish sees the poel every time he does something in honor of Shabbos. He's incredible. He sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays him back. He told me different stories about Shabbos. He had a very big dilemma. Should he, on Shabbos, use the generators? Okay, I don't know how it is today. Today it's always a fluid situation, but there are certain cities, certain places in Eretz Yisrael where the electricity it comes from the central station, and there are Jews who are working in the central station on Shabbos. Okay, so it's not necessarily forbidden. And there are many people that rely upon many leniencies, but there are some people that are very machmir, and on Shabbos, they use generators. And before Shabbos begins, they have to switch over to the generators. They have to push a switch. However, if you want to do that, you have to pay money, because the people who operate the generators don't do it for free. Okay, and it costs money. So not everyone could afford. Not everyone, you know, you can be samech on the heterim and you can use the regular electricity, or if you want to be machmir, you have to have it wired, and you have to it costs money. You have to subscribe to the service. Not everyone could afford. So there was this fellow, I know him. He told me that he really could not afford, but you know, he can manage. You can just he'll take the risk. It's a few more dollars, and he did it. And he said he did it, and the next week immediately he got a raise. And the raise was exactly what it cost to compensate for the generator. He did this L'Chavit Shabbos. 2 weeks later, he had a windfall. He got another contract for what he was doing. He says, it's incredible. Every time he goes the extra mile to be Mechabed Hashem through Shabbos L'Shem Shemayim, he's able to see the Yad Hashem. Now, I look at him and I say, wow, I certainly don't have those type of experiences. And, you know, I'm not from the big people who are big fans of the inspirational stories, okay? Because I can tell you many people who have the same exact situation. It doesn't work for them.
And they lose money.
And they lose money. And it's not for the faint of heart. But yet, one thing is certain. There's more of a chance that you'll see the Yad Hashem in Eretz Yisrael than you will see in Chutz La'aretz. Eretz Yisrael is the land. Eine Hashem Elokecha Ba Mereishis Hashan Achrishana. There is an extra special Hashkacha Yad Hashem. It is easier to sense the Mida Keneged Mida. The Mida Keneged Mida is accelerated relative to the Mida Keneged Mida in Chutz Liars. Who says this? The Ramban says this. I'm not saying this. The Ramban says this.
So,
yeah.
So you believe that this person was correct? Able to judge
it's him. Not for me to judge. Every person is different.
I'm just saying,
you can't judge.
Our
what?
Our natural tendency, at least here, is to downplay such things, right?
Correct.
Is that because we're cynical or just insensitive? Or
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
It's a very dangerous road.
Okay, you're right. You're right. Okay, I agree with you. I normally take your side. I agree with you. But that's not my point. My point is, you have to be a maimon. If you're an Orthodox Jew, whether you like it or not, you have to be a maimon. And being a maimon means there is midah keneged midah. To live with such intense emunah is not a good idea. Because we're not on that level. Mm-hmm. We are not on that level where we can expect miracles to happen.
You can believe in general principle.
Right. You have to believe.
Right. But without...
Will you merit to see it?
Trying to microscopically examine each event.
Exactly. But will you merit to see it? So the Ramban says, in Eretz Yisrael, there's a much higher chance. A maimon, you don't have a choice. You have to believe it. The question is, will you see it? So in Eretz Yisrael, there is a much, much higher chance that you will merit to see it than seeing it in America, in Chutz La'aretz. That's true. As exactly.
So it's like the story about the guy who's looking for a parking spot and he's praying, Hashem, Hashem, give me a parking spot. And a car pulls out and opens up his
Hashem. I don't need you, Hashem. I don't need you anymore. I don't need you anymore. Okay, so you have to be in mind. The only thing is, when you see it, other people will not see it. Like, if a person can tell me a story, oh, he got a raise. I could say to you, there's a million reasons why you got a raise has nothing to do with your act of kindness, with your act of emunah. I can prove you 100 times over that you got a raise because you were meant to get a raise, not for other reasons, not because of this. Yet the person will say, you're right, but I have a certain sense that it was because of this. So that's very, we all know that. We all know. We all know that in our lives we see things and we understand. We understand Hashem is speaking to us. And you can't explain this to someone. If you'll tell this to another person, they'll laugh at you. They'll say, come on, it's nonsense. You're right. On paper, it's nonsense. But an individual who is involved in struggling with emunah and works on his emunah, that's the beauty of emunah. That's part of the nesayin of emunah. You know it. You know, why did this happen? It's because A, B, and C. Can I prove it? No way. Can I explain it to someone else? Don't even try. If you'll explain this to someone else, they'll laugh at you and they'll ruin it for you. They'll ruin your emunah. But yet, we all know it to be true. We all know that deep, deep down inside of us, something is ticking there, and we know, you know why this happened? It's because of A, B, and C. It's because we had a moon in Hashem, we went the extra mile, and the Mela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now looking out for us a little bit more than we otherwise he would. Or, you know why this thing happened to me? It's because I did this Avera. Oh, I'll tell this to my Rebbe, they'll laugh at you. Come on, it's nonsense. Okay, that's right. So don't tell it to someone else. Emunah is a very personal experience. It's something which is in your neshama, and only you can make an assessment of your neshama. Lev yodea moras nafshei. A person's heart knows the bitterness of his neshama. It goes both ways. You know why you're suffering, and you know why you're being rewarded. And if you want to experience those moments, where do you experience them? In Eretz Yisrael. You have much more of a chance of experiencing those moments in the Avira, the Eretz Yisrael, than in the Avira of Chutz Li'aretz. Who says this? The Ramban. The Ramban says this.
What it means, makim, makes you smarter.
It makes you smarter because you come to see.
See.
Now, there is one exception. Here is why we're discussing this principle, because over here along comes the Chazal, and Chazal, there's one exception. You know the exception is? Oyna. If you cause another person pain, oyna means pain and suffering, the punishment will be accelerated even in Chutz La'aretz. The gates of oyna are wide open in this world, even though there is no Beis HaMikdash. If one person causes another person pain, and that other fellow cries out to Hashem, you have caused me tzar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts. He has a SWAT team on standby. A standby SWAT team to react and to be dispatched and to attack. I have a friend, he now works in technology. And until he worked in technology, he was one of the most, it's incredible. So he got this job when he was very, very young, in his mid-20s. He got a job as one of the most elite EMS paramedic teams for the city. He worked for the city, and he was on a special unit where they respond, they're on standby, to respond to...
VIPs?
No, not VIPs, but a very certain type of emergency, medical emergency. I don't know the details.
Not disaster.
He was an EMT, paramedic, but it was like he didn't go on regular calls. Okay, he was not part of the regular system. You know, you go on the EMS. You know, they call anyone, any units available, you go. It was a very, very special unit that was reserved. I don't know for who, for what, for something very, very unique. And they were specially trained. And the problem was they were so specially trained and they were dedicated to a certain unit of the government in New York, he almost never went on a call. He sat, like they went on a call once every 3 days. And just sat around doing nothing the whole day. I wonder, you know, these SWAT teams, how often do they go on there? These SWAT teams, they specially train snipers and hostage situation. They specialize. I don't know what they do. They must have other jobs. They train the whole day and they sit around and do nothing? I don't know. There must be a system. No, but firefighters, they have other things to do for them. They put them to work. The firefighters, they put to work the whole day. They really do. They have to do inspections the whole day. They do this all day, that all day. They know how to get them to be productive the entire day. And I'm certainly the police force, and certainly even these SWAT teams, they certainly don't sit around the whole day and twiddle their thumbs. But this type of job that he had, he was specially trained, and he mamish did nothing the whole day. So it got to the point where the city basically canceled. They canceled the unit, and he lost his job. They just said, "This is a waste of money. We're paying these people, and we need them, and indeed, we put them out, we send them out every 2-3 days on one call. What else do they do the whole day? They just sit around and do nothing. So they cancel, the unit was canceled, and this fellow lost his job, and he wasn't interested in becoming part of regular, you know, getting a regular job as a regular EMS after he had such a cushy job, sitting around doing nothing. So he went into technology, he became he's a very skilled person, so he went into a very specialized field in technology. And but in this example, I was saying Hashem has a special SWAT team in Shemayim that's highly trained and on standby to be dispatched when a human being cries out to Hashem that someone has caused me pain. The Shari Oino Loi Ninalu. For what? Anyone, Lav Dafka women. Amar Rav Chisda, Kol Hasha'arim Ninalim Chutz Mishare Oino Shenemar. Vihine Hashem Nitzav Al Choymas Anoch. And we learned the Mitzudos with the Radak. I forgot who said it. Anoch comes from the word Oino. Aleph Nun, the first two letters are the same letters as Oino, the Sharish of Oino. Omar Rebbe Elazar, Kol Nifra Bidei Shaliach. All individuals who do Averois will get their due, but not right away, through a messenger. And a messenger doesn't just mean not directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means a messenger in time. Hashem dispatches the punishment, and, you know, it takes time until the punishment comes around. It can take a decade, it can take a century, it can take until the next generation, until the person is punished or rewarded for his mitzvos or averos, especially b'zman hazem when there is no Beis HaMikdash, and we live in chutz li'aretz. Chutz mei oino'o, except for a person that causes another fellow pain and harm, their punishment is meted out immediately. Shenemar, this pasuk, uviyodoi, in the hand of Hashem himself is anoch. Anoch here means is the oino. Hashem feels the pain himself and he right away dispatches punishment. Amar Rabbi Yeshava, shloisha avoinois ein hapargoid ninol bifnehem. The curtain. Maybe I have the expression, achoirei hapargoid. I've heard from behind the curtain. So that means there's hiddenness, there's hester upon him. People do mitzvahs, do averos, and it appears that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not aware of what we've done in this world, or we do not know what's going on the other side of the curtain. There are three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the curtain is wide open. Hashem sees what's going on clearly, and Hashem, we can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing punishment. What are they? Lahafsik riyasan min HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the paragoid is the curtain which prevents us from seeing what's going on. Number one is oino'o, causing another human being pain. The gezel, theft. V'avoydezoro, oino'o. How do we know oino'o? How do we know oino'o? HaKadosh Baruch Hu right away dispatches punishment. Dersiv uviyodoi anoch. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has in his hands the suffering. Hashem takes it personally. It's his tzara. Because the person who caused another person pain, Hashem feels the pain. It's in His hands, the oino. And that implies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to immediately bring about punishment. Okay, that concludes the Mamor Chazal. Let's quickly look. Okay, when we finish up over here for today, the sexual of the Chomas Anoch. Okay, the Chomas Anoch on this page, Pasuk Tes. V'noshamu b'mas yischak kasu v'shem areinu harav Rabbi Moshe al sheikh zal. The Helika al sheikh. The al sheikh was probably the biggest darshan in history. Okay, he was the master orator. The master darshan. I don't know what it
is. Sfas. By the
Arishul. So they say that the Arizal, they say the Ari, he would always fall asleep when he spoke. And I think, and the, I don't know, something like that. Why? Because, and then the explanation is, and it's very true today, it was not his miktsoyah. The Arizal was in Kabbalah. The world of Kabbalah is not the world of drush, homiletics. Okay, some people, they thrive on homiletics. And some people, they love Kabbalah, gematrios. Some people like pshat, The Pashtunim, they like to learn a pasuk very literally. Some person like pilpul, everyone is different. Different strokes for different folks. So it's interesting that the Al-Sheikh lived amongst the Mekubalim. Tzfas was the place for all the, you know, the people who hang out in Meron. The mystics. Okay, the mystics. Usually the mystics are not the same type of people who are the rabbis who give a drushes. The homiletics, not everyone goes for homiletics. You go to different shul service. You don't want to hear a drusha, a fataycha pasuk with a story of inspiration. It's not for everyone. These two types of people usually do not mix. The mystics do not appreciate the darshanim, and it's very fascinating that they live together. That the al-sheikh, who was a master darshan, not a mekubal, not into gematrius, not into zohar, not into the olam hanistar, but into the olam hanigla, with a good story, a good mashal, make you feel good, like a good rabbi flabush. They live together, and when he would darshan in front of the mystics they didn't really appreciate what he said.
In all around shul, Rav Shlomo Alkovitz was the chazan, and Beis Yosef was the paisik.
Was the paisik, and the alshich was the darshan. So you had the mekubalim
was the
mystic. You knew what was going on behind the scenes. Yeah, mamish everything about halacha, starka halacha. But Beis Yosef was also a mystic. Okay? The magid came to talk to him in the middle of the night to tell him. But he was a bal halacha, a litvak. And then you had the homiletic, the rabbi, the darshan, and you had the chazan. You had the poets. Okay, you had them all. It must have been some place to live at that point in time. But over here, he quotes in the name of the Al-Sheikh, Yeroya ein bamois as Yeroya, it appears, ein bamois aseres hashvatim doimim lebeis hamikdash shebihuda. Ki beis hamikdash gam sheyecharev oidenu bikdusha soy velo yishoim legamrei. Okay, first he's starting off by telling us that the Beis HaMikdash, this is something you have to appreciate, this principle, is that the Beis HaMikdash, the Shekhinah never left. And this is even so when it comes to, though, when we discuss this, the Mishkan of Gilgal, the Mishkan of Shiloh, Noi V'Givoin, there's nothing left. Har Sinai. If we can find today Har Sinai, what are you going to find there? Nothing. Is there any Kedusha? Is there an Indian today in going to Har Sinai to daven? No. It may be a nice thing to know, to go to Har Sinai, to know where it is, to look and understand, to reflect. It was on this makom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. That would be a very beautiful thing. Why not? It would be a very beautiful thing to go and find what they call the Sinai. Sinai is not Har Sinai. No way. Okay, no way, Jose. Is Sinai Har Sinai? I know you're telling me about the stones, that you break the stones, and it looks like a bush, right? Those stones, and you break the stones, and it looks like a snare. And if you break it again and again, and it's a mamele, it's a raya, this Har Sinai. Listen, I don't know how to answer the kasha. I hear the question. Those stones are very unique, and some people have those stones, and when you break the stones, it looks like a snare, and if you break it again. But all of the evidence indicates that the Sinai, where those stones are found today, is not the place.
We don't even know if it exists. Maybe it was just existed for the giving the Torah. I don't know.
There is such a medrash that says that it went away, that it was miraculously uprooted, it was taken and presented and brought and removed. Okay, there is such an approach. However, there is a lot of studies, and if you want to go read the books, we always talk about the books from Bloom. What was his first name, Rav Meir?
Yeah.
What was his first name? Bloom.
Howard
Bloom has a awesome, awesome, breathtaking book describing his experience in searching for Har Sinai. His evidence is compelling, something which you cannot ignore. Things that it says in that book about where might be the true Har Sinai. And it's recognized by many experts that this indeed is a very serious candidate for the real Har Sinai. It's not the only place. There are other experts in this field which have other locations that are candidates for Har Sinai. It would be a very nice thing. I mean, I was talking to Avsimil Soloveitchik, and I said to him, Who cares? Who cares where Har Sinai is? So he started screaming at me and banging on the table, and he said, Chas v'shalom to say, who cares where is Har Sinai? If it's a mokoim in the Torah, it's worthy to know where it is, to go there, to see it, to understand everything there is to know about it. Anything that is recorded in the Torah is worthwhile to investigate, to see, and to discover. No question about it. We don't know. Fine, we don't know. Questions, can we figure them out? But what? Now, let me ask you a question. What happens if we do discover where it is? Let us say, without beyond the shadow of a doubt, we know exactly where Har Sinai is. Is it kedai to go there for Shavuos and daven there? Shavuos is the anniversary. Go to Meron, right? Make an industry. Where is it? So probably say in Saudi Arabia, right? Just like everyone goes to Meron for Rosh Hashanah, right?
So you go to Meron. Go to the Red Sea for Pesach.
What?
Go to the Red Sea for Pesach.
Go to the Red Sea. We don't know. We don't know where the Yam Suf is either. That's also a very big mystery. There are a lot of candidates, but no one knows for sure. No one knows for sure where Yam Suf, where it is, and all these things they found wheels of wagons. It's all baloney. The whole thing, all the stuff is nishkagin, nishkaflagin, all of those things. No one knows with certainty where all of these places are. But theoretically speaking, let's say one day we do discover with the ultimate certainty beyond a shadow of a doubt where these places are. Is it kedai? Is it worthy to go there and daven and make a minyan and daven and mispalel for siyata d'shmaya for kriyas yamsuf? Can you imagine the craze? We're going to send a delegation to be mispalel for shaduchim. Kosha lezavgon ki kriyas yamsuf. It'll be the biggest money-making deal in the world. So just give us, send in a check of $100, and a delegation of Gedolei Yisrael are going to go to the Yam. They're going to stand by the Yam. We know exactly where the Yam is. They're going to go on a boat into the Yam, and while they're in the Yam, the Gedolei Yisrael are going to be mispalel for your zivug. Just send in a check. We take credit card also. American Express accepted. Send in your check, and the Gedolei Yisrael will go to the Yam, and they're going to be mispalel for a zivug. Right? Guess what? It's nonsense. It's total baloney, because there's no kedusha. Even though it says there, Ro'osa Shivcha Shebayam, Masha Loira Yecheskel Ben Buzi, who cares? That what? Masha Hoya Kivar Hoya. There's nothing left. There is no more kedusha left than Mokaim Aki Huzeh. It was a one time deal. Rezehu. So someone wants to take your money to go to the middle of the Yam to be mispalel for a zivug, for Kriyas Yamsuf. Someone wants to go to Har Sinai and be mispalel for your child, that he should be a Talmud Chacham, or you yourself go, nishka hoigin, nishka floigin, it's not worth a ki hu zeh. If you go, though, to a kever, Rav Nachman Mibreslov, no, that there's something to it, because that's a kever yavos, that you can't deny. That you can't deny. You can't say not. That's a real kev. They're bones, and that's the neshama. That we have a makar that the kedusha is found in the makom of the kavura of a tzaddik. What about going to the Kosel Hamaravi? You bet, because the Beis Hamikdash, the Shechina, never fully left the Beis Hamikdash. But Shiloi, Noivigivoin, Gilgal, Har Sinai, Yam Suf. Goshen? You want to go to Goshen? There must have a nice shul in Goshen somewhere. Garnished. Nothing. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. The Shechina has left for good. Only place where there's Shechina in this world today, there are only two places. Only two places. Kivarim and the Beis HaMikdash. V'zehu. Any kever. Sometimes you'll be surprised. Which kever you'll zera to Yeshua? So why don't you try and go to the kvarim of the Chayolim, the Chayolei Tzva Haganah Yisrael, Herzl? There you'll be surprised. The Yeshua is the person who can be zera to by being misspelled by some of those kvarim. People who gave up their life al Kiddush Hashem, and even though it's not a great rebbe, you never heard of this soldier. You'll be surprised what kind of miracles people zera to Yeshua. You go to a kvarim. There's no question. There's kedusha. When you go to a Beis HaKvaros, There was Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash. But there was no Kedusha in the other locations. And that's what the Chaim HaSnachavi was coming to teach over here. One more time, we'll give these words over here. It's too long to do now. So we'll do this Amir Tashem tomorrow.